Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Heir Today, Pawn Tomorrow, a lit RPG game-lit novel by Eric Uglund, narrated by Neil Heligers. Chapter 1.
"I think I'm missing something," I said.
"Always are,"
Nikolai snapped.
"Well,"
Cleve said, pulling out a piece of paper and smoothing it out on the tiny table. He pushed the two remaining beer mugs out of the way.
"I am preparing to adopt you as my heir, Montana of no house at all. That is, if you'd like to be a duke in the near future."
I said, looking at the caravan leader.
"I would not.
Can't say that's anywhere on my list of future plans."
He blinked at me, then looked over at Nikolai and grinned. "I love this man."
Nikolai grumbled something I couldn't hear, but returned the smile to his boss.
"Sure." "This attitude is why I need you," Cleve said. "Others might see the opportunity as a means to get ahead, to push their own agenda. But you will only see it as a burden."
"Not selling it," I said. "Kind of making me want it even less than I just did."
"It is not something I would wish upon anyone I truly loved. Great. But there is a vast importance to it."
"Then," I replied, "and I mean no offense here, someone else should really do it."
"Ah, but you are the one."
"I'm really not."
"Let me explain everything to you."
"Is that wise?" Nikolai interrupted.
"He will need to know at some point," Cleve said.
"Do you think a back room in this shithole tavern in the middle of a backwater town is the place to reveal your secret?"
"Yes," Cleve replied with a slight smile. "The man who runs this tavern is an old friend, and this room is built for purposes such as this."
"So," I interrupted, "this is starting to feel a lot like you want me in, like, a position of power and leadership, and those aren't even among my weaker skills. They're in the giant list of skills I haven't even looked at yet."
"They are skills you will develop. The best leaders are those who do not desire power, but instead understand the sacrifices we must make when power is thrust upon us."
This was going to be a giant mess, but it certainly appeared as if I had no say in the matter. I grabbed one of the mugs on the tiny table and took a great big pull. It was warm, and that made me sad.
"What I am about to tell you," Cleve said, apparently deciding I'd accepted his offer, "is only known by 4 individuals in the Empire. You will become the 5th.
"Guys," I said.
"Shut your mouth and listen, whelp,"
Nikolai barked, his face impassive. Cleve just grinned.
"There are a few things the whelp should answer before you speak," Nikolai said. "Nikolai, we don't have time for this," Cleve said. "We are running short as is. He is not human."
"I'm not what now?" I asked.
Cleve frowned. "He is fallen."
"What is that?" Cleve asked.
"I have yet to encounter any such as him."
A moment passed, and Nikolai looked at Cleve. Cleve looked at me. I looked at Cleve. Finally, I pulled my character sheet, which is where I saw how many points I still needed to distribute.
Montana, level 10 nothing. Traits, race, fallen. Height, 6'3", weight, 280 pounds. Eye color, hazel, hair color, blonde. Renown, 0, no one even knows you exist. Statistics, HP 236, stam, not applicable, MP 182. Armor, plus 23, chainmail, active effects, none. Attributes, strength, 55. Agility, 17, dexterity, 19, constitution, 52, wisdom, 13, intelligence, 13, charisma, 19, luck, 27,
Unassigned points, 36. Skills. Riding improvised level 1. You can now ride improvised devices, plus 5% to handling. Falling level 1. You can flail through the air with the best of them. Watch for the sudden stop at the end. Animal handling level 5. You can calm down a domesticated animal, keep a mount from getting spooked, intuit an animal's intentions, or if you're really lucky, tame a wild beast. Harvesting level 5. You can pick plants, you can grab fruit, you can cut neat things out of creatures you slaughter. That'll save the world, right? At level 5, you are able to harvest common elements with no penalties, plus 10% successful gathering chance. Swords, level 5. You can swing sharp objects and likely not hurt yourself, plus 7% damage, plus 7% skill. Spears, level 4. Remember, the pointy end goes towards the enemy, plus 8% damage, plus 8% skill. Unarmed combat, level 9, you can strike with the fist or the foot, and must register your hands as lethal weapons. Minus 13% stamina drain, plus 13% damage. Axes, level 9, you can chop down limbs of trees or men or monsters. Plus 12% damage, plus 12% skill. Large weapon throwing, level 10, take that massive weapon and throw it away. Plus 13% accuracy, plus 13% damage. Warhammers, level 5, everything is a nail. Plus 9% damage, minus 9% stamina drain. Light armor, level 3, a little bit of leather goes a long way. Plus 7% damage reduction, minus 7% movement penalty. Heavy armor, level 1, metal protects better but gets in the way a bit. Plus 5% damage reduction, minus 5% movement penalty. Stealth, level 1, be sneaky, move around in silence. Tiptoe up the giants and dragons. You're totally going to start stealing stuff now, aren't you? Plus 10% harder to detect. Improvised weaponry, level 1. You can make a weapon out of anything. Say, a dwarf stabbed to a chair. Plus 5% damage when using made-up things as weapons. Swimming, level 9. You can move through water without drowning. Plus 9% movement speed in water. Abilities. The sword of my enemy is my sword. You found that, in a pinch, every weapon will do. Plus 1% damage for each new weapon used in a combat. Iron Will. Stamina no longer applies to you. What a beast you are. Make an entrance. You really know how to enter a room. Once per day, you may use your ability to make a grand entrance, such that those on the other side of the portal are stunned. Feats. None. Boons. Powerful build, Mr. Paul. You are bigger than you look. For all strength rolls, you are counted as one size category larger than you actually are. Regeneration, Mr. Paul. Outside of combat, your body will repair rather quickly. Given enough time, it's possible you will heal from nearly any wound. Gift of Gab, Mr. Paul. Should you encounter a language you do not understand, as long as you hear at least 3 words of it, you will understand it and speak it perfectly. Indicium. None. Relationships. Rumid Pass. Destroyed. Liked. Languages. Goblin. Imperial Common. Mardemise. Spells. Lifeform Identification. Level 1. Costs 1 mana. Identify uncommon or lower lifeforms. Basic Object Identification. Level 1. Costs 1 mana. Identify any non-magical common or lower item. Heal Other. Level 1. Costs 100 mana. Through the use of magic, you are able to heal another through touch. Heal 50 HP. Humus, level 1. Costs 10 mana. This spell gathers dirt and organic materials, moisture, and bacterial ingredients within 1 mile per level of the caster, and places the mixture anywhere the caster wishes within range. This is humus, the black and rich soil excellent for growing plants in pots or gardening. Of course, the mage may use it however he wishes, but it is usually for growing things in pots and window boxes. If no such materials are within 1 mile per level, the spell has no effect. Yep, there it was, right under my stupid name, Fallen. How long had it been there? Was it something Mr. Paul did? It did explain why so many people had asked me about it. Wait, you guys don't know what that is?
I have yet to encounter one. Cleave said.
Well, shit.
Silence invaded the room.
Yeah, so, that's me, Fallen.
A side effect of coming here? I guess, yeah, I mean, I had a choice of races, and I guess you chose Fallen? It was chosen for me, more or less.
Such a strange thing.
Yeah, I said, having serious reservations about saying anything about the real process. Were there rules about that?
And you want me to mentor this idiot? Nikolai piped up.
I do, Cleve said. And to do it well. Much depends on you,
because you saddle me with a fool.
Love the attitude there, Neek, I said.
He glared daggers at me.
Since you're going to be my mentor, why don't you tell me how to spend my ability points? I asked. Nikolai sighed, long and hard, in Cleve's direction. Then he asked,
How many do you have?
36? Both men blinked at me.
How many levels did you gain today? Cleve asked.
6?
The Agaknern,
Nikolai said with a nod. I nodded.
6 levels. And you received 36 points, Cleve asked.
Correct, I said.
You see why this must happen now, Nikolai?
Cleve asked my less-than-happy mentor. Nikolai nodded, resigned to his fate.
Montana, Cleve said. I need you to listen carefully to what I say. The Emperor will die soon.
Did he not tell you to listen? Nikolai barked. I held up my hand, chagrined.
In the war for Archibald Fields, Cleve started. The Emperor was mortally wounded during an attempted assassination by a traitor. 4 people were in the tent when the coward struck, and it was I who slew the traitor. In that moment, the Emperor barely clung to life, his wound clearly fatal. The High Magus stood with us, and he asked if I was willing to save the Emperor. I had no choice but to agree. The Magus wove a complicated spell which nearly killed the Magus. But it tied the Emperor's life to mine, and my life to his. My life force is used to keep the Emperor alive. But when he dies, I too will die. For this, for my sacrifice, the Emperor gave my family a chance. I was given a dukedom in the lands.
If you have a family, I asked, why adopt me?
I am the last of my line, he said with more than a bit of sadness in his voice. The only family I thought I would have were my soldiers. I promised them a place to bring their families, a place where there will be peace to raise good people. I thought I had more time to make all this happen, but I fear my life will end soon. The Emperor's brush with death is known, and his enemies are circling. It is only a matter of time before
I get it. But I just don't see how I fit in.
May I try to explain, sir? Nikolai asked Cleve.
Cleve waved his hand. He took a moment to drink his ale before offering the table to Nikolai.
Look, fool, Nikolai said. There are only 3 things you need to understand. 1. We need to get the land claimed as a dukedom before Cleve and the Emperor die. 2. There needs to be a legal heir to the dukedom before Cleve dies, or the next one onto the throne will just appoint someone else. 3. The Duke must be strong. Strong enough to withstand the political ambitions of the other nobles in the realm, but also the outside world. He must be a beacon that will bring good people to his hold, be fair and just. He must be a terrible combination of things that you most definitely are not, but that you must become. For this to be a place worth having, we must have a leader who is stronger than anyone else in the Empire.
I frowned, tapping the table with my fingers.
This didn't feel right. Why would Cleve and Nikolai want to do this? What would they gain? And for that matter, what was I going to gain? A title? Land? A ridiculous amount of responsibility? Guys, I said, I've always been more of a follower, and how has that worked out for you? Cleve asked. I must have looked shocked, because the man seemed to know he'd struck a nerve. I take it there was a reason you left your world for ours. But I feel there is a strength in you. You have already shown, more than once, that you will put others before yourself. Ultimately, I will not force you into this. It must be a choice you make. But I know you will excel and make our world a better place. As I mulled over everything, I took my time with a long drink, enjoying the bubbly beer. Even if it was warm, it had been a rarity in the Empire of Glatton. I opened my mouth to say something, but there was a knock at the door. Owen stuck his head in the door.
The mayor is here for you too, he nodded, then ducked back out. The time for a decision has come, my friend. What say you?
I'll do it, I said. But Meek has to agree to be my advisor. Cleve smiled. And be nice about it, I said, also smiling. Nikolai did not smile. Chapter 2. Cleve went off to do whatever it was he needed in order to formally adopt me and make me his heir. Nikolai took me back out into the tavern to talk to the mayor, a gnome named Knout Duzeman. He was busy holding court, standing on a stool, talking about the danger the town had faced and overcome. His hair fell in golden ringlets around his jolly round face, and he wore a velvet suit in the medieval style, with frilly sleeves and plenty of accent lace. He looked like a drunk Cupid, minus the wings.
And these are our heroes of the day? Knout asked, sweeping his slightly watery eyes over to us. I hope so. They are delicious.
I gave a half-hearted smile and wave. Nikolai shuffled slightly so he was hidden behind my bulk and then shoved me forward.
The town of Saumur's is so appreciative for the bravery shown. We have been under the heel of those bandits for months now. They have ruined our trade and violated our homes.
Knout reached a hand out, and someone who seemed like his lackey put a heavy pouch into it.
In honor of your great deeds for the town, Knout said. And because a reward was promised, Owen interrupted.
Knout shot the barkeep a dirty look but kept going.
A reward. 40 crowns.
He proffered the bag towards me. As soon as I took it, he grabbed my wrist and raised our arms up together.
The heroes!
The crowd cheered half-heartedly. Apparently, Knout didn't exactly have the townsfolk behind him. He held my hand up for what felt like a full minute. It was remarkably awkward. Finally, Knout dropped my arm, hopped off the stool, and stomped out. I opened the bag and peeked inside. Gold coins, as promised. I leaned against the bar. How much to buy around? Chapter 3. Apparently just a single gold. Not too bad. I was happy to share the wealth, so I bought 2 rounds for everyone. Before I could even take a sip, I was led back to Cleve. So much for being a leader. He had a piece of parchment on the table held down by coins at each corner. On the edge of the table, a strongly scented candle with a blue and red ribbon tied around it burned brightly. I said. This looks an awful lot like some weird ceremony.
It is a ritual, Cleve said. And I cannot say how bizarre it might seem to you. 'Tis quite ordinary for us.
Cleve had me strip down to my underwear and sit. Then he did the same, sitting opposite me. The two of us sat there, mostly nude, fully awkward. For an older dude, Cleve had some serious muscle, and more than a few scars. He'd lived his life in the jaws of danger and only barely survived to tell the tales. He put his right hand on the parchment. He nodded at me, so I did the same. It felt warm. Like it was, I don't know, alive somehow. Ew, or maybe it was skin. Discomforting, either way. Nikolai, who stood just out of view off to the side, did something with his hands. A deep indigo light pushed out from the parchment for a heartbeat before it was sucked back in. Instinctively, I tried to pull my hand back, but it was held tight, stuck or something. What the? Hush! Nikolai said sharply. I felt a prick on my palm, and I knew I was bleeding. I could feel the wetness, but it got pulled away quickly. The parchment was absorbing it. A prompt in red letters appeared in my vision. Recognize. The Elf Lord, Benedict Cogshall, a.k.a. Cleaved Eye, has offered to formally bring you into his family and recognize you as his heir. Do you accept? Yes or no? I selected yes. A noise rang out, something like a gong. But given the manner in which it sounded, I'm guessing it was only in my head. Or maybe my head plus Cleves. The parchment began to fill with red lines, intricate filigree spreading out from our hands. Letters formed as the lines met, almost like someone had pre-written everything and we were merely providing the ink. Faster and faster, the lines spread across the document until there was a bright purple flash. It was done. Then Cleve's upper body seemed to fill with tattoos. Marks popped up everywhere. I was about to ask if they were Indicium, but then I recognized the Legion mark on his shoulder, what he had shown when I'd asked. So I kind of assumed they were all different Indicium. A burning, itching pain spread across my right pec. I looked down, peering through my beard, and saw black lines spreading across me, connecting to form a symbol on my chest. It was very much like a creature, but one I wasn't particularly familiar with. A bit like a wolverine, but with more teeth and a longer neck. Let's just say it looked badass, fierce. The lines were dark and clear and perfect, more so than any tattoo I'd ever seen. Boom. You've been granted the Incomplete Indicium, Cogshall Heraldic Achievement. This Indicium is only available to the direct line descendants of the Cogshall Dynasty. You are granted permission to enter family buildings, granted permission to access family funds, and are granted permission to use the family name. Note, the other bonuses of this Indicium are locked until the Heraldic Achievement is complete. Recognize. The Elf Lord, Benedict Cogshall, has formally designated Montana as his heir and a member of the Cogshall Dynasty. Know this. You are formally known as Montana Cogshall. Know this. You are the final link in the Cogshall Dynasty chain. If you perish before you designate an heir, the Cogshall line and dynasty will end with you. All assets of the dynasty and all honorifics of the dynasty will revert to the land itself. The parchment shoved me away, and I looked at my hand. There were a few small cuts in my palm, but as I watched, they healed over. Blue flames roiled over the parchment, melting the candle and the coins. Somehow the ribbon stayed whole. The way the blood spread over the entire parchment and seemed to soak into it was both amazing and disturbing. The ribbons and coins disappeared into the document for a moment before popping out the bottom, hanging on as if the parchment was a papal bull. It was as if the document had sucked the ribbons and medals and coins into itself so it could rearrange everything perfectly. It looked pretty damn cool. Everything was still for a moment. Finally, the parchment rolled itself up and sat there. Nikolai grabbed the document, slipped it into a tube, and disappeared it onto his person. Cleve, or Benedict Cogshall, extended his hand across the table. We clasped wrists. "Welcome to the family, son," he said with a wink and a smile on the last word.
Chapter 4
Cleves said he had business to take care of, but I couldn't imagine it had to do with the adoption and the parchment, because Nikolai never passed the tube over. Before he left, my new dad basically ordered me to get some sleep. We'd be heading off at dawn, westward bound. It made me wonder what kind of boat we might take. I was hoping for a setup where I'd be able to laze about during the sunny portion of the day and fish during the remainder. Nikolai guided me outside through a back door, and we emerged near the stable. Darius was talking softly to the horses. We waved, he waved, then he walked away. Nikolai did a sweep of the barn and came back over to me.
"You have passed 5th level and 10th level today, yes?" he asked.
"Yeah," I said.
"So your first choice is upon you.
In a sense, your first choice was stolen from you, but your actual first choice is nigh."
"Choice," I said. "Right now you are level 10 nothing, correct?"
"That's right."
"That is because you have yet to make a choice."
"What's a choice, man?"
"The choice details who you are, in a vocational sense and in a life sense."
"So I could be a baker?"
"I doubt your skills would allow it."
"Dude."
"The gods will give you 3 to 5 options, and you must choose one. That becomes who you are for the next 5 levels.
"What are you?"
"Not something you need concern yourself with. As you advance, you will find there are more specializations with greater advantages and disadvantages. Right now, I imagine they will be simple. You will likely be offered warrior, perhaps something else. You have mostly martial skills, but can cast magic, so that might be something that trips the gods up, and you'll have greater choices."
"You cast magic, too?"
"I do."
"Can you—"
"No, not now. Perhaps not ever."
"You don't know what I was going to ask."
"I can make a guess, and I know my answer. For the time being, do not cast any spells where anyone can see you beyond myself. Do not call Cleve his real name, and tell no one of the adoption. As far as the choice goes, the first one is not crucial. Go where your heart tells you, but remember what your options were. When we speak tomorrow, tell me. We can tailor your training so that when you reach level 15, your options will better match what you need for the future. Was there anything else you needed to discuss with me, your nice mentor?"
"Ability points."
"Yes," he said, snapping his fingers and pointing at me. "It is odd. Your ability scores are through the roof, and your skills are not. You are going up very quickly, which could be very good, but I fear could wind up badly. We must tread lightly. And speaking of light treads, you move like a drunk ox. Put those points into agility."
"All of them?"
"As much as you feel comfortable, but I would suggest most. You need speed. Anyone who sees you knows you are strong. They will try to best you with speed, and you must not let them."
"Okay."
"Good," he replied. "I must get this to where it needs to go."
He held up the document tube and twirled it around once for good measure. I opened my mouth and raised my hand halfway. Nikolai stopped moving and sighed.
"What?" he asked. "Spit it out."
"The indicia I got."
"The family heraldic achievement, I gather. What of it?"
"It says it's incomplete."
"Of course it does."
"Okay, but why is it incomplete?"
"The heraldic achievement must be individual to every family member. You must do something worthy of being included in the lineage, whether good or bad, before the indicia will complete itself."
"I thought I was included just by being, you know, his heir."
"You are included in the family, but not yet in the lineage. To fully belong, you must do something of note for the Cogshall dynasty. What that is, I do not know. I doubt Cleve can tell you exactly what you need to do. But perhaps, if you ask nicely, he will tell you his tale."
Nikolai tapped the tube on his head in a mock salute, then walked off into town. I stood there a moment, and then pulled up my ability scores. Nearby, a horse farted. Ah, the rural life. Attributes. Strength 55, agility 17, dexterity 19.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?